Joonatan antoi sitten varusteensa palvelijalle ja sanoi hänelle, vie nämä kaupunkiin.
Okay, I will read from 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 41 and 42.
The words are in Jesus' name.
And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of the place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself 3 times. And they kissed one another and wept one another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn, both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Amen. Dear listeners, when I was thinking beforehand about this evening devotion, especially in my mind, was you dear young people, you young listeners, of course, all of you, but especially you dear young. And at the same time, when I was thinking of you young people, and on the other hand, this time that we are now living, and all that we see around us, as the book of Samuel, or the words in the book of Samuel, they remained in my mind. They kept coming back to mind, namely, especially in the first book of Samuel. There is one passage, one of the central figures is a young man, a young believing man, a child of God, who then grows up as the book or the story unfolds, and he becomes of age to become a servant of God. But those words from the book of Samuel, also when I was reading them, a few different themes came to mind from this book of Samuel, came to my mind that the leadership or the a kind of a guiding thread, a message that the leadership wanted to convey to God's children even back then, but also here this evening at these Opisto services. First of all, that we've already heard in many of today's sermons, God sees everything. God knows our lives. God knows you, dear listener, listener of the word out there in the field, the young listener at the service site, and there, many of you in front of your screens. And here in the service tent, God sees into your heart. God knows your life. God knows my life. Secondly, one of the central messages in the book of Samuel is the message of warning. Namely, through an example in the book of Samuel, it tells of when a person becomes full of themselves, that God's advice is no longer acceptable. A person experiences or believes that they know better, that they possess superior knowledge. And then before long, the gift of faith will fade from their heart, just as it did from the heart of the person in this example from Samuel, which is just as a counterpart, which is certainly not far off. The difference is as fine as hair. This is how God wishes to keep us as his children. God wants to bless obedient children. God knows you knows the lives of you and I, knows that we stumble every day with our thoughts, with our words, and in many different ways through our actions. But despite that, when there is a will to remain in the kingdom of God or remain among God's children, God has promised to keep his own. That message too is very strongly conveyed in this first book of Samuel, just as in general in the case of the Bible. Then here is also a message of friendship. This short portion that we heard at the beginning, this was just one passage of about or excerpt about friendship, not just any kind of friendship, but a partnership on this journey. If God grants it in this evening devotion, we'll also take a look. This event that happened here, David and Jonathan, believers, perhaps in the terms of time, a challenging situation and a rare one for us today. David was in mortal danger. He was in danger of being killed. And God sent him and a friend to encourage him, Jonathan. And why was David in mortal danger? We'll return to that other portion, or let us return to the second example of warning, that when a person seeks to rise up against God's will, faith is extinguished from the heart. It is a gift, and when faith fades from the heart, the Spirit of God is replaced by the spirit of the enemy of the soul, leading to a life without direction. Many listeners of the Word, including children, you remember young people and young people from Sunday school and Bible classes, King Saul, who was the first king of Israel, and he succeeded in his duties. He grew so great that advice was no longer needed. Saul was no longer willing to listen to advice or listen to the instructions or follow them from God's congregation. The ones through Prophet Samuel on behalf of God's congregation, instructing him on how God wishes to lead the world and how God also wanted to lead Saul's life. Saul was hard of hearing, and as a result, Saul lost the favor of God. He lost the gift of faith from his heart. At this point, instead of the Spirit of God, the spirit of soul healing or became a spirit of wickedness. In this evening devotion, we do not have time to go into all of these matters in greater detail, but many surely remember how David was very skillful or skilled in many things and succeeded in various things. And so the king wanted to hire David as his assistants. When God was allowed to be present in David's life, blessing the work that he did, then Saul, whose heart had been poisoned by that spirit of jealousy, he could no longer handle the success that Daniel experienced in his life. Arose a powerful bitterness and jealousy and that jealousy grew so great in Saul's heart that he compelled or he went to seek out David and kill him. At that moment, God sent help in the form of Jonathan, a believing friend. Dear listeners, even at this moment in this evening, from these different excerpts forms a spiritual picture of these events. Even though it was a temporal picture of the events, a spiritual picture emerges. And what is the picture? The Spirit of God was at work in this world, and the Spirit of God is at work in this well. The Spirit of God was at work in this world. What is the enemy of the? What is it that the enemy of the soul seeks? It seeks the soul of the believer, just as Saul's men sought the life of the believer David. And when the enemy of the soul prevails, and that when the believer's faith is extinguished, then a person dies spiritually. But even though these are serious words, I still think, dear listeners, that especially there is a message of joy that God, as I mentioned earlier, God wants to protect his own. And when a person desires to remain a child of God, God can send, I believe, as there are many listeners here who may be in a situation in life or at a crossroads in your lives. There may be a powerful or enemy working hard to wear you down. The enemy of the soul wants to come up with all sorts of excuses to make you think it is better to give up your faith. How easy it is, as we've heard in the sermons here today, how much easier would it be if you just gave up your faith? That is the enemy of the soul's sermon. The freedom of the children of God is when sins are forgiven and one receives. And is allowed to hear the most precious name of all, that of a child of God, that anyone in the world can hear. That is the greatest gift of all. Faith cannot be taken away. If an unbeliever wants to take for himself faith from a shelf, it is impossible. It is entirely God's work. God gives it as a gift if he so chooses. But the gift of faith is so precious that it is not worth rejecting in the face of the enemy. For that purpose, God has given us travel companions on our journey, so that our fellow companions in those moments of weakness, when the whisperings are intense and powerful, we may be there to support each other. We may be there to listen, to encourage, to be there to help. Therefore, you who may be wavering, as if on the very edge, ask God for help, for believing friends to be by your side. Talk to them. Do not abandon your faith. Talk about it. converse with other believers in the kingdom. In God's kingdom, there has always been conversation, even though it's often portrayed differently in the media. But in God's kingdom, there is an abundant discussion. The conversation never ends. It is important that we discuss and listen to one another about the things that trouble us and are on our minds. And it is not wrong to ask questions when something is weighing on your mind. As the saying goes, he who asks does not go astray. In those same situations, when we get to share the burdens and concerns of our journey, God is often able to comfort us. For the greatest gift of all, the word of the gospel, this enables us to encourage one another on our journey. And it is also written here in the first book of Samuel, a beautiful description. About when someone came to the aid. Let's see, that was chapter 23:16. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. He was fleeing in fear, and he regained strength or received strength in his hand in the name of God. That is a description of how our travel companions encourage one another in the name of the gospel, and with those comforting thoughts that even in our distress, God does not leave us alone. And here in this, at this evening moment, in a very special way, comes to mind you, or comes to you, listener, who feels alone or is overcome with loneliness. You may be listening via the media or the internet, or you may be in the service tent or out in the field. You may feel great loneliness, even though there are people around you. But loneliness tears at your heart. You can pray to God, dear, for a traveling companion to be by your side. And I know that too many, many have prayed for just that, and yet loneliness continues. Do not stop praying for that. But if I may offer some comfort, you at this moment, in this evening, in the Gospel of Mark, do you remember what is written when Jesus was teaching again to the people around him? And to him came a man, or his mother, Mary, came to him, and his brothers. And the disciples noticed that Mother Mary and the brothers had something to say to Jesus. And the disciples came to tell Jesus that they had that your mother and brothers are there, and they have something to say to you. What did Jesus say in this situation? Maybe from the eyes of a family, it may seem a bit curt, but Jesus said to the listeners, there came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And he answered, them, saying, "Who is my mother or my brother?" And he looked round about on them which sat about him and said, "Behold my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." Jesus said here that every child of God is to be called a friend to one another. You, the listener here, as you sit here listening, if you look at a fellow believer, someone familiar or a complete stranger, you can look at them and realize that there sits my sibling, my sister, or my brother. And the Bible so beautifully, it says how a believer's, from the gaze of a believer reflects the face of the gaze or the face of Christ.
Mahdottomankin tuntoinen ajatus siinä mielessä, että
it is somehow almost impossible in the sense that when we look into our own hearts, how it often is prone to sin, that how is it possible in my own endeavor against evil. Nevertheless, when I am allowed to carry him in my heart and with courage, then from your face and mine, the face of Christ is reflected. So I would say to you that I already began, that may this bring you comfort at this moment, that you are not alone. Around you are fellow travelers traveling towards heaven. Surrounding you are sisters and brothers. You are surrounded by beloved fellow believers who share the same destination. I'm thinking of you, dear young one, young friend in faith. It's worth, it pays staying in this flock. Often in your home, we've said in sermons that it is so wonderful when you, the listeners of the word who are older, sit with us at services. You have seen and experienced many different stages in life. You have experienced probably the same kind of temptations what the young people experience, even though the times have changed. People don't really change. We have all been tempted. And how encouraging it is to see you, the elderly sitting at services, for us who are a little younger, or for you, our beloved young people, and even the children. This serves as an example that heaven takes care of us. These elderly sisters and brothers are just the same sisters and brothers as the little ones playing in the sandbox. We are all siblings, brothers and sisters to one another. And what is our calling? It is that we treat each other in such a way as one who has received a great gift. When we look around us, loneliness, vulnerability, fear, let's reach out to them and offer encouragement. Even though we may be bad at that ourselves, we should be there for one another. We should be proclaiming the most precious of all the messages, the gospel. Even if the other person can't bear it or doesn't know how to ask for it, for that is the strength on our journey. It is the food that sustains us as we walk this heavenly path. And even at the end of this service day, dear listener, from the spot you find yourself, from wherever you may find yourself, you may also claim it as your own. Believe all your sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. In Jesus' name and blood. You can believe unto peace, freedom, and joy. And especially you who have lost your gift of faith, you are in my heart. The enemy of the soul has been able to entice you. Maybe you are thinking that you have fallen into such great sins that you may not be worthy of mercy anymore. This mercy is meant precisely for you. Faith, unbelief, and all sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, you may go in peace and security and follow this wonderful kingdom of God's children. Myself, feeling very tempted and a sinner, I would like to ask, may I also believe all my sins forgiven? In Jesus' name and blood, I want to believe along with you. We have a good God in heaven. He takes care of us. We can be at this wonderful, joyful journey here as we journey to our heavenly on our journey, and one day for all eternity in our heavenly home. The power of grace sustains us. In the name of the Father, amen. Let us end in prayer. Let me rest, O merciful Creator, be my shield. Unless I rise from there first, take me to heaven with you. As a child standing in the midst of heaven in this strange world, here already heaven fills my heart. May the Lord bless you and keep us. May the Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.